sheet in front of you is to just provide you with an introduction to the Shemoneh Esrei, the Musar Shemoneh Esrei of Rosh Hashanah. I'm using the Ashkenazic Nusach, that's the one that I am accustomed to. However, the Sephardic Nusach is not so markedly different than this. Being a Talmud of Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal, the Rav, Rav Soloveitchik, was very fond of examining the tefillah that we daven in the course of the year, as well as on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And from him I learned to examine tefillah in a very careful kind of way, and really to discover nuggets, literally nuggets of gold, that are to be found in every tefillah. And really it's amazing to see the structure of the tefillah, and to see how the Anshei Sagdola, when they put together the tefillah, they did so with tremendous precision, incredible precision. Let's just start by way of introduction and mention some basic facts which you're all familiar with. Everyone knows that the Shemoneh Esrei that we daven every day has how many brachot? 19. Really, there should be how many? 18. One was added, that's the bracha, of course, of B'lam al Shinim. The bracha that was instituted, the Gemara says, the bracha by Shmuel HaKadosh. He introduced actually the 19th bracha. And the structure of the Shemoneh Esrei, as you know, is also quite basic. The first three brachot are considered to be, how are they termed? They're called Shevach, essentially brachot of praise. Those are the first three brachot of the Shemoneh Esrei. The last three brachot are called Hodah, thanksgiving. And the middle intermediate brachot are brachot of Bakasha, prayers of request, of supplication. We ask Hashem for different things. So in reality, we have 19 brachot. However, on Shabbos and Yom Tov, how many brachot do we have? It's reduced from 19 to 7. It means we have 3 in the beginning, 3 at the end, and 1 in the middle. The 1 in the middle, of course, what we have eliminated is essentially all the bakashot. We've eliminated all the prayers of supplication, the requests that normally we make in the course of the year. And we instituted instead what's called the bracha of Kedushat Hayom. The bracha that describes the sanctity of the day, whether the bracha is Baruchat Hashem Mekadosh HaShabbos, or the bracha is Mekadosh Yisrael Vazmanim, that's what we've introduced in the course of that, of Shabbos and Yom Tov. And that's essentially, we've eliminated all the bakasha on Shabbos. Now, is there an Isser, is there a prohibition, an interdiction against bakasha on Shabbos? So Rav Soloveitchik was fond of saying, this is Machlok of the Babli and Yerushalmi. The Gemara in Brachas on Daf Chof. The Gemara actually, it's not a Daf Chof, it's a Chof Dalet. The Gemara in Daf Chof Dalet in Brachas, the Gemara actually points out that, let's say a person on Friday night, it happens from time to time. You start davening Friday night, and instead of saying what normally you're supposed to say on Friday night, which is, as the Shemoneh Esrei begin after the first three brachot, Atah Kiddushta, instead you say, Atah Chonei L'Adam Das. Has that ever happened to you? Probably not to you. But to me it's happened more than once, when I'm in a state of somnolence. Anyway, so what's the din? If you start saying Atah Chonei L'Adam Das, what's halacha? You complete the bracha. You have to complete the bracha, then you go back to the Shabbos davening, which is very striking. That shows you that apparently there's no prohibition against saying those bracha on Shabbos. So why do we say them? Because since there's a din of only Shabbos, we don't want to be matriach people, and that's why we've eliminated basically. But there's no conceptual problem with saying bracha da bakasha on Shabbos. The Yerushalmi, however, says there's an isur. One is not allowed to say bracha da bakasha on Shabbos. That's not what Shabbos is all about, and therefore we eliminated all the intermediate bakasha in the Shemoneh Esrei on Shabbos. So we have 7 brachot, that's on Shabbos, that's on Yom Tov. Now comes Rosh Hashanah, and Rosh Hashanah Chazal added 3 brachot that you are familiar with. They are called the brachot of Malchiot, Zichronot, and Shofron. These are 3 additional brachot that are added to the Shemoneh Esrei. So that means it should bring us to a total of 7 plus 3 equals 10. However, Chazal had a Masorah that how many brachot are there on Rosh Hashanah? 9. So because of that, 2 of the brachot have to be combined. And that's the subject of the whole Machlokes Tanoim in the Mishnah Masechta Rosh Hashanah. I'm not going to go into all the details of this Machloket, but we pass from the halacha that we actually combine 2 of the brachot. Does anyone know which 2 brachot we combine? I'll show you in a few moments. We combine actually the bracha of Malchiot with Kedusha Sayyam. The bracha of Kedusha Sayyam, as you know, and Rosh Hashanah, is, I'll show you in a moment inside, but we combine those 2 brachot, Malchiot and Kedusha Sayyam, and therefore we have 9 brachot, that's the Sach HaKol that we're supposed to have on Rosh Hashanah. So I want to examine now the Shemoneh Esrei and just show you just some fundamentals, some basics about the Shemoneh Esrei, it looks like a Rosh Hashanah. I want to tell you that I grew up in shuls where the Baalei Tefillah were not necessarily big rabbanim, big rabbis, but were beautiful balabatim. How do I translate the word balabatim? Normal people like you. Beautiful people like you. They were working people, whether they were engineers or doctors or lawyers, or sometimes even tailors, or people who were what you call blue collar workers and the like. And they were people who davened with such, what did you say?
Laymen,
thank you. They were lay people. Lay people actually who davened with such beautiful kavana, and they had such a beautiful nusach of their davening that Ad HaYom HaZeh, many decades later, that is the nusach that I use when I daven. And I'm not exactly, shall we say, the one who really should be davening for the Amid, but I do daven actually for the Amid. I'm not necessarily the worthiest candidate, but I try my best to daven with all the kavana I could possibly muster. But they daven very beautifully. And that davening left a massive impression on me, Ad HaYom HaZeh, till this very day. Who asked me before about Ad HaYom HaZeh? I forgot. Someone asked me. In Tanakh, when Ad HaYom HaZeh appears, how exactly do you view that? Is it till that point in time, or does it mean for all eternity? And I said, it depends on the context. But Ad HaYom HaZeh, literally, to this very day, I actually am under the influence of that davening that I heard when I was a little kid growing up, and the nigunim and the tunes really left a massive impression on me. And I find Rosh Hashanah davening to be awesome. Not just Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, this whole season, this whole period of time. I look forward to the entire year. Can't say I look forward to fasting, but I look forward to the davening, unquestionably, which I find to be very, very meaningful and very profound, moving kind of personal experience that I encounter on an ongoing basis. So let's start now with the Shemoneh Esrei. You have in front of you, what I did was I put numbers in order to make it easier to identify the different brachas. So you look at number one. That obviously we are all familiar with. This is the Shemoneh Esrei, the Musaf Rosh Hashanah. We have the first bracha, which is called the bracha of Magen Avraham. Of course, you only have one additional element, that is Zochenu L'Chaim, Melech HaMetz V'Chaim. I'm not discussing that tonight. After that, you have the second bracha, which of course is the bracha of Nechaya Mason. Then also you have the introduction of Micha Melech HaRachamim. And then you have the following. Atakadosh, Shimtakadosh, and on the bottom of one. Ugdoshim Cholyam Yalucha Sela. And normally one would have expected at that point to have the bracha of Hakel HaKadosh, but in Rosh Hashanah season we say HaMelech HaKadosh. But we don't have that. Instead we have a really lengthy preamble, if you will, on number two, starting with the V'chein Tein Paktach HaShem Elokeinu Al Kol Ma'asecha. And this is based on different positions that the Gemara mentions. However, what's interesting here, if you take a look at that in number two, this is what Rabbi Soloveitchik was once asked by a psychiatrist. The psychiatrist asked the Rav the following question: what are you trying to do? Are you trying to intimidate us? Is Hashem trying to frighten us? Is he trying to completely desiccate our very being? Because look what it says. Uvechein tein pachtucha Hashem Elokeinu al kol ma'asecha. The pachad of Hashem. How do you translate pachad?
Fear.
The fear of Hashem should be al kol ma'asecha. Then the next word, ve'eimascha al kol ma'ashebarasa. What's the word eima? Also refers to fear. Eima and pachad are synonymous terms. Not completely. What's the difference between pachad and eima? Could you tell me the difference? Anyone who knows Hebrew well? That they could make that, shall we say, nuanced distinction between pachad and eima. What would you say? You both are smiling away. So how do you distinguish between pachad and eima? Anyone? Even a guess. You can speculate. I don't mind. Which one would you say is a more primal kind of fear, if you will, a fear which is more fundamental and basic, and the other one seems to be a bit more intellectual? Which of the two would you say is which? Yeah. So pachad, I would say, is the following. A person is, shall we say, horseback riding, and you're having a great time, galloping away, and all of a sudden you realize there's a precipice in front of you, and the horse is about to go over the precipice. I would say you will be filled with pachad, to say the least. That's pachad. Pachad means a fear. Eima actually is a term that's used in Tanakh almost in a number of different contexts. Ish imo v'aviv tiro. There's an obligation to fear your parents. So eima would be tipu alem imasav v'pachad. Many times in Tanakh you have these two terms that are used together, but eima actually is not the same as pachad. Okay, anyway, I continue. The imasav al kamash v'rasim, we hope Hashem's eima will be on all the created beings. And then v'yiro ucho kalamasim, another word. Yira. Does Yira mean Fear. Ishlimo v'yavik tiro. So the psychiatrist says to Rav Soloveitchik, what exactly is Hashem trying to do? He wants to give us a guilt complex, guilt feelings, pachad, ema, ira, and the Rav answer? That's exactly what Hashem wants to do. He wants to literally, we should feel guilty. Guilty as charged. We should feel guilty in the sense that we should realize that we are individuals who have transgressed, and therefore we should somehow be motivated to do tshuva. And all this, often people are motivated not necessarily by, shall we say, noble feelings, but often by guilt. Namely, pachad, ema, yira. And then it says further, v'yishtachavu lefanacha kol habruim, that all the created beings should bow down to Hashem. And he continues, v'yasu chula maguda echad asa v'sonka blev v'sholim. I'm not going to go through all the entire this paragraph number two, but here you have it number two. Essentially, in the second paragraph, it says, "V'chein tem kavod Hashem li'avecha." They seem to be enjoying themselves. Baruch Hashem. I'm happy. I'm entertaining you at least. Tilo le'reecha v'sik matavul le'darshecha ofiskom pel amyachulim lach. And we continue. V'chein tzadikim yirav yismachol. Okay, but I'm getting to the end of it, where it says, "V'simloch atah Hashem levadecha al kol ma'asecha." We ask Hashem that He should, in effect, be the one who will reign. And then finally, Kadoshat Avner Shemecha on the bottom of two, going on to three. Baruch Atah Hashem Hamelech HaKadosh. So we've had really a rather, what I call a fascinating interlude. Means there's an interruption in the normal situation. Normal situation requires the bracha right after Atah Kadosh Shemecha Kadosh. And here suddenly we have an introduction about Pachad and Ema and Yira. But at the same time, you also mention in the middle of two, Simcha Le'atzecha V'sasun Li'recha. Almost as if to suggest that Rosh Hashanah hasn't had really a dual theme, which it really has. Rosh Hashanah, on the one hand, is the Yom Hadin, is the Day of Judgment. On the other hand, Rosh Hashanah is also, there's a sense of simcha, a sense of happiness and joy. We are certain that Hashem will answer our prayers in a positive way, and therefore we're able to somehow conjure up that element of simcha. Now, here you seem to have both themes that seem to be found in item number two. But the reason why I'm interested in this is because these are the first three brachos. And now we continue, if you look in three, upper left-hand corner, Atah v'chatanu mikol ha'amim. That's classic, as you know, to every Shemoneh Esrei of Yom Tov, correct? Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, Hashem chose us. We mentioned the particular day. It's called Yom HaZikaron HaZeh, Yom Truah Mikol Kodesh. The Torah calls, actually, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Truah. Oh, Hashem. He's a very happy fellow. That's great. I hope you maintain that for 120 years. You'll be the better offering. Anyway, so we mentioned here Rosh Hashanah. It's called Yom HaZikaron, Yom Teruah. By the way, the Ramban in Chumash, the Ramban has a very fascinating idea, which is also relevant to Rosh Hashanah. He calls Rosh Hashanah Yom Din Berachamim, a day of Din, which means a day of judgment, tempered by the mercy of Hashem. Now, there are two elements I just mentioned a second ago. There's pachad, there's also simcha. Yom Din Berachamim. You know how you see that? You see it in a number of ways. Number one, the day itself is called Yom Truah. The word Truah in Tanakh, the Ramban points this out, of course it's Kedai to learn Tanakh in order to appreciate it. The word Truah actually is found in Tanakh, generally speaking, in the context of war. The Torah says, "V'chisavo milchama bi'aretzchem." When war comes to Eretz Yisrael, al hatzar, atzor eschem, an enemy besieges you, v'hareyosem v'chatzotzos. You will sound the chatzotzos, the trumpets, the word is v'hareyosem, lashon truah. So the Ramban cites other psukim in Tanakh, the word truah is found in the context of milchama, of war. However, the tkiah that precedes the truah, correct? Tkiah lefaleh, tkiah lacharel, tashrat, tashat, tarat, the tkiah is always found in the context of simcha, in the context of joy. So in effect, what's happening? We have the tkiah together with the truah. Truah symbolizes din, but it's surrounded by the tkiah. What is the tkiah trying to do? The tkiah is trying to envelop din, to encompass it, or if you will, to engulf it, or if you will, to completely squelch it, to the point where obviously what will emerge? Din will be completely and totally snuffed out by simcha, or by the rachamim of Hashem. That's the idea of the tkiah that precedes the truah. The din is in the middle, and the tkiah is on the other side. We want the simcha to somehow overwhelm the midas hadin in the middle. That's basically what Rosh Hashanah is all about. Ramban calls it Yom Din Berachamim, a day of din, tempered by the rachamim of Hashem. You see also in the Kriyas HaTorah, if you actually, the first day of Rosh Hashanah, we read about the birth of Yitzhak. You know, each of the Abbas represents a different midah. What midah does Yitzhak represent? Pachad Yitzhak, midah sadin, midah sagvura. That's how the... You don't even have to be a Kabbalist to know that. That you can see, actually, even in the Nigla, as far as they deal with halachic issues, Rashi quotes in the Chumash as well. But the second day, what do we read about? The second day of Rosh Hashanah? Akedah Sitzur, the binding of Yitzhak. The same idea. Yitzhak is the birth of Din. And the second day, of course, is the binding of Din with Rachamim. We want Hashem, we're trying to invoke the Rachamim of Hashem, that the Rachamim should temper the Midas HaDin. So you see the same idea that the Ramban is expressing, Rosh Hashanah is a Yom Din B'Rachamim, a day of Din, tempered by the Rachamim of Hashem. So I continue now on item number 3, where we have Mibnei Chataeinu, and going over to number 4, we mentioned the Karbanos, and now number 5 introduces a new theme, that's the new Bracha of Malfield. Now Malfield, Rasaleshi was always used to point out that Malfios, the idea that we are expressing the kingship of Hashem and Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, we coronate Hashem as King of the Universe. So putting a crown on Hashem. And Malfios consists really of two ideas. And one idea is the fact that we, the Jewish people, are the ones that recognize Hashem. We acknowledge that Hashem is Melech, that Hashem is King of the Universe. We're the ones who accept Hashem. But what, of course, is the whole idea of Malfiel? The idea of Malfiel is that the whole world should accept the kingship of Hashem. It should be universal. Correct? So if you take a look at Aleinu, you'll see the two paragraphs of Aleinu, that idea. The first paragraph of Aleinu is pretty obvious. Aleinu the Shabeach. Who is praising Hashem? Who is Aleinu? Klal Yisrael, the Jewish people. Why is that? So it says, Shalom Asanu. We are not made like the Goyi HaRatzos. We're not like the non-Jews of the world. Lo Samal Kamishu Adama. Shalosom Chalkinu Kohem, our lot is not like their lot. Shem Ishtachavim Lehem Vavik, they bow down to nothingness. Va'anachdu, what do? We accept Hashem. Korim U'mishtachavim U'modim Lifnei Melech Malfi Amlochim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's the first part of Malfiot, the fact that we acknowledge Hashem. There's a second part of Malfiot, which is the second paragraph. Al-Kenikaveh, of course, is the hope. Liros Mehera B'Sever Zuzecha Lahavi Giludim in Aretz. The Rav used to point out there's one critical word here. That's the word kol. What does kol mean? All of mankind should call Hashem. Who should turn to him? Kol rishay aretz. Even the wicked people. Yakir b'yedu kol yoshvei tevel. All the inhabitants of the earth should recognize Hashem. Ki lecha tichra. Who should bend their knees? Kol berach, every knee should bend to you. Tishavak kol lashon. You see the word kol occurs and recurs. In general, when you learn Tanakh, or when you study carefully tefillos or piyutim, you have to look for words that recur all the time, and these words indicate a kind of theme. So here the theme is that of universalism. Namely, the first paragraph of Aleinu focuses on kol yourself. It's parochial nature. The second paragraph of Aleinu discusses the universal theme that hopefully the entire world will come to recognize Hashem. And now, so that is what's called Malfiot, which consists of these two parts. As a matter of fact, one of the classic psukim of Malfiot that we'll see in a moment, on the bottom of 6, is the pasuk of Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. What is that idea? Kabbalat Olam HaShemayim. If you learn Masechet Brachos, maybe you study that. Masechet Brachos, you're smiling, you certainly did. But the Gemara says in Brachos that people who daven Vasikin have a smile on their face all day. So I imagine you probably daven Vasikin all the time. That's the maskan I came to. Either that or you're the kind of Gemara, the end of Ksubis. That the Gemara says if you, the person shows their pearly white teeth all the time because they're always smiling, that's a very big chesed. I mean, you want to be a chesed, you want to have a chesed with people like me who are briskers. They're always in a state of solemnity, a state of sorrowfulness. So you're trying to be mechazik me by showing me the smile based on the psul, possibly the end of my feet. Chachlili anayim yoyim, vetshinayim echalim, the Gemara, the end of Ksubis. I assume you probably came to it. Did you come to it? You didn't come to that Gemara Ksubis in the last paragraph, in Shnei Daini. Gemara Shnei Daini, the last paragraph, 13th paragraph Ksubis, about people who are perpetually smiling. That's a big chesed to do for people like me, to be mechazik me. So that's what you want to do. So I assume either you daven vasikin every day, or you just want to be mechazik everyone in the world, and I thank you for both. Okay, so even I have a sense of humor. Okay, so why? That guy over there, you know him, Ben? He's a veritable minefield. In a positive way. Okay, so now let me just point out to you The two parts of Malchus are introduced over here, Aleinu, in the second paragraph. But now you notice something, and this is going to be the very structure of all these three tefillos, Malchus, Zechariah, and Shofros. Each one of them has an introduction with definition of terms, a glossary, table of contents. That's generally what we do. And then we have the middle section. There are three sections, three parts. The middle section, the Gemara writes, consists of actually what they call psukim, that come from Torah, and that come from Suvim and Nevi'im, and the last passages in Torah, 3, 3, 3, and 1, 10 psukim altogether, to corroborate the idea of Malchus. So what will be mentioned in the middle psukim that deal with Malchus? Obviously the word Melech will somehow appear in different forms, and different... fashion, in order to corroborate this idea of Malchus. Just take a look. On the bottom of the page, you see the bottom of 5? Kakosu b'sura secha. Now we're going to have Sukkim from Torah. Hashem yimlothi alam bo'ad, number 1. Now I'm going to 6. V'ne'amar, a second pasuk, lohibit abim v'yakov, v'lo'am v'sura Hashem alakav imo, suas melech bo, the word melech is number 2. V'ne'amar, v'hibishu melech, v'sasi rosh agam v'yakot yuta Yisrael. That's the third pasuk, also using the term melech. By the way, that pasuk is machlokes rishonim, what the pasuk refers to. There are two possibilities. That pasuk, Vahi Bishurin Melech Misasiv Rashi Om Yachat Shifte Yisrael, either refers to who or whom. There are two choices. One is a possibility refers to, any guesses? Hashem, excellent. And the other, many Mepharshim say, refers to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is a din melech. That's how the Rambam paskins La Alocha, Moshe Rabbeinu is considered to be a melech. Vahi Bishurin Melech. That's the makra that's generally quoted for that idea. But what have you seen so far? 3 psukim from the Torah. Now let's take a look at the next section. I'm in 6. Uvedivrei kachshu chalkasu lemor. Divrei kachshu refers to ksuvim. In English they call it the hagiographa. That means writings in Latin. I assume you took a course in Latin. You probably took a course in Latin too. When I took a course in Latin in high school, I was smiling perpetually. I used to actually have a professor. He taught actually Cicero and Horace. I'm probably not so familiar with them, but whatever the case is, and it was a course in Latin and Greek. I had an interest in that. But the professor was a bit eccentric. I won't mention his name. He was a genius, absolutely eccentric genius professor. I came to the course, and there were 3 people in the course. I said, okay, that's not so bad. I'm willing to handle it. After the first lecture, the next day, I come to the course. There was only 1 person in the course. Yours truly. The other 2 quickly exited. They obviously were, shall we say, scintillatingly brilliant, and realized that this guy was just, he would drone on and on, this professor, he was just a genius, and he was speaking Latin, no one was talking about it. He just got on his way, he didn't switch from Latin to Greek every few minutes. Anyway, so fine, so I'm in the course. I don't have a clue what the man's talking about. But I was interested in Horace and Cicero. So the next day I decided, let me see what happens if I don't show up right away. So I wait outside the door, and the professor takes attendance. He calls those other 2 people, of course, no longer in the course. He was not aware of it. Then he calls my name, and he realized there was no one present, and he begins to lecture. I'm standing outside the door, and I just got a kick out of the whole thing. He lectured for 1 hour and 50 minutes. Now, truth is that Rashi in Brachas, the Rashi says, Aznayim lakotel, the walls have ears. You're familiar with that expression. The walls have ears? It's a Rashi, Rashi in Brachas. So walls have ears, he was lecturing to the walls. Next time the class was held, I decided to once again pull the same stunt. Again, he takes attendance, he goes on his merry way. Then I decided to show up, and I showed up late. So he doesn't even notice I was there, because he already took attendance. Once he took attendance, that's it, he just lectures. And also they asked a question. So then he says, you are not present. How can you ask a question? This is his response. A very fascinating fellow. Anyway, I learned with him some Latin and Greek, to be quite honest with you, in the course of it. I actually stayed in the course, which is my nature. Once I commit myself to something, I remain committed to it. Okay, why do I say all this? Because Uvedivrei Kachshecha, hagiographa, Ksuvim, that's where it comes from. By the way, notice that the order has been reversed. Normally the order is Tanakh, Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim. Here the order is, in the middle section, Torah, Ksuvim, Nevi'im. Why is the order changed? There are 2 answers to this question. One, the question is raised about Bali HaTosis, the Rosh Hashanah, and the Ritva, and all the Rishonim Ester Kasha, and they say the order is chronological. But the way the Pesukim are quoted, primarily the Pesukim here come from Tehillim. David HaMelech came before Nevi'im, who are familiar with that. There's hope for all of us. So David HaMelech came before Nevi'im, and that's why the order is Torah, Ksuvim, Nevi'im. So it starts with Divrei Kachshecha Chalkasu Lemor. So now take a look at this. Ki Hashem Hamlucha Moshe Bagoyim should be three psukim here. That's pasuk number one. V'ne'emar Hashem Malach Geyas Lavesh Atikon Tehillim Atikon number two. V'ne'emar, the third time it says Sushar Moshechem, supposed to be one pasuk. How many are there? We say this on Sunday. Sushar Moshechem, stop counting. V'nasu Pisayolim Yavim Al-Hakava, that's one. Mizem Al-Hakava, Hashem Yizim Gibor, two. Sushar Moshechem is three. Mizem Al-Hakava is four. A total of how many psukim instead of three? A total of six psukim. What happened? He forgot to count over here? Or he lost count? Somehow he didn't take a basic, shall we say, basic math. I have a chaver who's actually, he was a PhD in mathematics from MIT, and he taught actually in university level for a number of years. Then he decided that clearly they don't pay enough money. But someone was a math professor in the university level, so he became the chairman of a math department in Harlem. Harlem is an area in New York which is, how shall we describe it? Local coxympathy. Not so sympathetic. And so he became chairman of the math department, which he received a salary of three times the salary he's made as a professor in university, a very prestigious university he taught math in, actually. And he became the chairman. He taught one course, and he was overviewing. He taught seniors in high school mathematics, literally the top class. So he thought he was going to teach them basically calculus, shall we say, the rudimentary elements of calculus. Instead, he was teaching literally addition and subtraction to seniors in high school. So I said, how did you do it? He said, for the salary that I was making, it was kedai. kedai. He remained there for 25 years. As the chairman of the department of a Harlem high school, he made a fortune of money. I'm talking about six figures, much more than he made as a professor of mathematics in a very prestigious university. And then he retired. He retired, he's a fellow my age, he retired 15 years ago. He was, they call, superannuated. They basically retired him, and he's been sitting and learning ever since. That's what he does. And his pension is probably better than most of the salaries in Eretz Yisrael. Whatever the case is, so he... does know how to count. He actually taught calculus, he also taught physics, he taught vectors. Whatever the case is, there's a problem over here with the count. It should be 3, 3, 3, and 1. Torah, Suvim, Devim. Look at the bottom of it. Yavrecha Nevi'im. See that? Kom HaShem El Chisuv Gualo. That's one pasuk. Next, Olam Moshim Ratzion, pasuk number 2. Hayashel Amal HaKaretz is number 3. So we have 3, 6, 3, and then the last pasuk in Torah. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So there's a problem with that 6 in the middle. Udivya Katshecha. So Rabbi Soloveitchik answered the question in the following way, but I already heard it from my father's Chen Hezbecha many years before then. I mentioned already that when I was a young child, my father used to... he told us he will pay us if we memorize the davening and know the meaning of every single word in davening. A nickel each tefillah. What do you say to that? Pretty. You got away pretty cheaply. Anyway, so a nickel to memorize the tefillah, and then my father, after negotiations, agreed to give me another nickel if I knew the meaning of every word. Okay, if it was worth it for me, so I was zocheh to a fair number of nickels. And because I was 8 years old, I knew the davening quite well. I knew the meaning of every single word of davening. And then we went to Shabbos davening and Yom Tov davening. So probably, Sachakol, how much did we gain from this experience? Probably 5-6 bucks. My father got it kind of cheaper. But you know something? Years later, I look at it. It was unbelievable. So when I was 8 years old, I thought I was pretty good. I went over to a very, very big rabbi. I was having a test here to see if he knows the meaning of every word of davening. Unfortunately, unbeknownst to me, my father was right behind me. I didn't realize that. I went up to this Rav, and I asked him, very chash of a Rav. Actually, you may even have heard of him. I don't know, because he was one of the Dolei Ador. I happened to see him. I figured, why not test him? So I proceeded. I asked him, in the Shabbos morning davening, a pasuk in the davening, which I can't imagine here anyone can translate, Tihu Yatzilcha Mipach Yakush Midever, I'll say this Friday, Havot. Anybody translate Pach Yakush Midever Havot? So before I had a chance though, I asked him the question in Yiddish, because he only spoke Yiddish. And but before I knew it, my father was right behind me, and I, shall we say, received two, how shall I put it, on both cheeks, two compliments. my father almost went out of his mind. The Pella was that this Gadol translated Pach Yakush and Dever Havot in Yiddish. Not only did he translate it, he also told me the Malbim's translation, Rashi's translation, I almost flipped out. I couldn't believe that a rabbi would have that kind of knowledge. But I almost never recovered from the two compliments that I received from my father's offended bracha. Whatever the case is, my father was into the cheretz, you know, for Rabban and things like that. All these crazy concepts. So anyway, one of the tefillos I had difficulty memorizing was Susharim. Why? Because every Sunday we say it, but it repeats itself. You notice? Susharim Hashem. Take a look in the middle of six. Susharim Hashem. We nasu bischayolam. Mi zemach hakav nashim zegibor. Susharim Hashem. Su bischayolam. Mi hu zemach hakav. I couldn't memorize it for the life of me. I kept getting confused. The words are the same, no? Are very similar. Until my father showed me the following, and then years later I heard the Rav, Soloveitchik, analyze his tefillah in a several hour shiur that he gave, and more or less I'm sharing you what he said. Take a look at the first, there are two couplets here, or two groups of sentences. The first time it says, Su Sharm Rashaychen, Vihi Nasu. Anyone who has Diktuk 1-2, I don't know if they teach that anymore. Vihi Nasu Pischayolam is the Nifal. And though somehow, the way they translated in the old translation, ye gates, open up. Ye gates. It's the old translation. They want the gates to open up and let whom in? Let God in. Vihinasu. Vihinasu sounds like against your wishes. You don't want to open up the gate. God is dead. You're aware of that. There is no God. He's non-existent. So we go ahead and say, open up the gates. Vihava melchakava. So what is their response? Mize melchakava. This is response to Rasalvechi, similar to Paramelach Mitzrayim. Moshe Rabbeinu came in, and Paro said, "Mi ze Hashem asher eshma b'kol ol shalach es Yisrael? Lo yadati es Hashem begam es Yisrael lo ashalech." It said with impudence, what we call in English with chutzpah, correct, with a certain kind of temerity, with a certain ferocity. That's how it said, "Mi ze." I'm not interested in letting him in. So what does Hashem say? Okay, no problem. Hashem is the Gibor. I will puff. I will blow your house down. Hashem is the Gibor. Hashem Gibor b'chama. That's how Hashem responds to that kind of, shall we say, indication on your part, you're not going to accept it. The second time around, Su Sharm Hashem, no longer Behi Nasu. What does it say? Usu. That's a voluntary kind of thing. It means you have changed your tune. Now you're ready to accept Hashem. And so therefore it's no longer Mi Zeh with chutzpah, but Mi Hu Zeh. Pray tell, what is he like? Describe him to me. Mi Hu Zeh Melech HaKavod. The answer is no longer I'll huff and puff and blow your house down. Hashem Tzvako to Melech HaKavod Tzelot. You hear what I'm saying? So these are tzvei dinim, a dialectic, classic brisk. David HaMelech was a briska, Kayadua. Everybody knows that. I mean, you're aware of it. He was the ultimate briska. Anyway, so Rasul, as you said, look at the way you examine the psukim now. What do you see? This is exactly the idea of Malchios. But I told you earlier, Malchios means the present situation, only we recognize Hashem. The rest of the world can care less. But what is the ultimate hope? The ultimate hope is they won't come with that temerity and impudence, but rather, they also will accept Hashem. That's exactly what's going on there. Those two sets of couplets, that's how Soloveitchik understood that. I heard that shiur. I wanted to hug Rabbi Soloveitchik. I went over to him and I decided better not to hug him. It would be dangerous. For those who knew the Rav, he wasn't exactly the huggy type. Anyway, continuing. The bottom pasuk is Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. That means the way Rashi learns the Chumash. Shema Yisrael Hashem Shehu Elokeinu. He's our God, who's our, the subject of our is Am Yisrael. Hashem Echad, we hope he's going to become what? Hashem to the entire world, become one. That's exactly the same idea, the same dualism of Malchiyot, the present reality, and the ultimate reality that we hope Mr. Hashem will attain. So this is basically the second part of Malchiyot, now turning to page 7, I'm a little behind schedule, what else is new? And number 7 is the third part of Malchiyot, which is essentially the summation. The summation is, first we had the introduction, with Aleinu and Alkin Nikana. We have the Tzukim that corroborate the idea, and now we have the summation at the end, number 7. Meloch al kol ha'olam kulu b'chodech, and again the Rav pointed out, what's the key word over here? Kol. Meloch al kol ha'olam kulu b'chodech. V'inase al kol ha'aretz v'karecha. V'hofa v'adagu v'zecha al kol yoshvi tevel ha'tzecha. V'yega kol po'ul ki atof y'atof. V'yavin, you get the point. Kol is the key word that in effect tells us this is universalism, that we want Hashem to be accepted as Melech by the entire world. And the bracha ends, Melech al kol ha'aretz, Melech al kol ha'aretz, the Kaddish Yisrael, Yom HaZikaron. So again, we see three parts of the Malchiyot. First part is definition, middle part is the Ksukim that corroborate the idea, third part is the summation, of the idea of Malchiyot. Now the same you'll see also in the other two brachot. Look at number 8 is Zichronot. Zichronot expresses the idea that Hashem transcends past, present, and future. He's beyond time. A human being is bound by time. Time, by the way, I don't know if you studied philosophy. Have you studied philosophy in your days? They don't offer philosophy in high schools? You probably studied philosophy. You haven't? I cannot imagine. You look like a philosophic type. Yeah? You study philosophy? Anyway, but if you study time, actually, it's one of the major areas that many, many philosophers... Oh, okay, you and I shall have a good discussion. No. He's the only one in the whole yeshiva who reads anything. Baruch Hashem, there's still one or two people left. What? What am I supposed to do with that gentleman? We should probably simply eliminate him. Not everything is Dvarim B'Teilim, with all due respect. Okay. Thank you. Zichronot expresses the notion that Hashem is beyond time. I don't have time to really focus on it right now. But now turn from 8, go to number 9. And number 9 again, you see the Karkasim B'Seir HaSecha? We have the psukim that corroborate this idea. Vayishko Elokim es Noach, that's pasuk number 1. Pasuk number 2 is Vayishma Elokim es Karkasim. Pasuk 3 is Zachad Yibisi Yaakov. That's the 3 psukim in the Torah. Then Divrei Kotshecha. We have again 3 psukim, 3, 3, 3, and 1. Zecha Asa Nidvosov, number 1. Terav Nasa Nerev, number 2. Vayisko Lebris, number 3. And then, Al Yidav HaRanaviyim, we have the series of psukim, Holok L'Kavasa Azei Yisholayim Neymar, Kama Hashem, Zacharti. Again, the word, critical word here is obviously related to Zayin Chafresh, to that Shoresh. Zachar Gol Chesed Nerayich, Lech Lech Avivu Eretz V'Zeruah. And then it continues going on to number 10, the right hand corner. It's a bit cut off, I'm sorry. It is truncated, as you can see. In the course of, shall we say, Xerox again. I guess the elephant must have had a trunk. Anyway, forget that. The Zachar Di Adias B.C. Yelzah Vemein Nurayach. I'm just trying to keep you awake. B'nehemar, Haben Yaakov Di Ephraim, Yelzah Chashur. This Pasuk Gras Soloveitchik was also very fond of. Haben Yaakov Di Ephraim. A lot of beautiful liturgical chazanish. Are you into chazanis? Yeah. What are you into? You're into everything. Baruch Hashem, you're Isha Eshnolot. That's great. So it'll be good to get to know you. And Mr. Hashem will be able to plumb the depths of your soul. Anyway, so Haben Yaakov Di Ephraim, in the other Chashurim, it says like this. Ephraim, call yourself compared to Ephraim. Ephraim is like a yellow Chashurim, a child that you dandle. How do you translate dandle? Dandle? You know, they have a Toys R Us in the United States. Here they call Kfar Shashuim. Also a toy chain, a large toy chain. It's called Kfar Shashuim. So Ephraim, probably says compared to Ephraim, Ben Yakuli, Im Yelot Shashuim, the child that you dandle. Ki midei davi bo zocher eskirenu. When I speak about Ephraim, I remember him. There's a problem that Mefarshim ask here. Usually what comes first? The remembrance or the speaking about? First comes the remembrance and then the speaking. Why is it reversed? So I'll let you suggest that the word here, Zachar, does not mean to remember, but it's similar to the Ramban in Parshas Yisrael. Zachar Siyam HaShabbos Zekatcha means to cherish the idea of Shabbos, to look forward to Shabbos with nostalgia. Do you not do so? Baruch Hashem, Hashrecha V'Hashrecha V'Hashrecha, may the Almighty bless you. You have to look forward to Shabbos with nostalgia. Shabbos is the very epicenter of the entire week. So the word Zachar doesn't only mean to remember, it also means to appreciate, to cherish, to hear. The pasuk is to be understood the following. Give me day, Davigo. When I speak about Ephraim, Zohar is Serena. Not that I remember him, but rather, I cherish the idea. And the Almighty cherishes Kavisa the most beautiful way. And then you have in the bottom of 10, it's a little bit cut off, as I mentioned, the third part of the bracha, which ends with the Zohar Habris. So now again, I'm turning to 11. 11 is Shofros. Again, the same three components you see over here as well. 11, you see, Atoni Glesa Banan Kodecha, definition of terms. Essentially, Shofros means... When is the shofar, when is it blown? So it was blown in Har Sinai, and of course ultimately it's going to be blown when? When Melech HaMashiach is going to come. And that's the introduction. Shofar means presence of the Shechina, Har Sinai, and the ultimate shofar. Now turn to 12, and then we start quoting the psukim on the bottom of 11, Karkasim B'Seir HaSecha, And then in Divrei Kachka, here also you have another problem. There aren't three psukim here. Many more than three. You see, Elohim Nesua, Chatzotzos, Kichol Yisrael, and then Haluka, Lukel, Bukacha, which is several psukim. So here I saw that you also was troubled by this and answered, the moment the person is in the presence of a Shechina, when a person feels Hashem's presence, he begins to sing and dance. That's the Haluka, Haluka, Bukacha. A person loses control and completely becomes so passionate and so overwhelmed with ecstasy. In the presence of Hashem, the Rav used to speak about, he was always having, I'm going to have a date with the Shechina. So when I used to say that, when I was 13 years old, I thought either he had gone a bit loco, a date with the Shechina. Do you have dates with the Shechina? Of course, amen. You're the Ishkar Shkodes, Baruch Hashem. Or there must be something, shall we say, a bit deeper. Rav Soloveitchik had this, how shall I call it? He was God intoxicated. Literally intoxicated by the idea of Hashem is Baruch. His whole life was enveloped by Hashem. And hopefully you will develop a sense of that too. Mitzvah Hashem Alevai. Anyway, that's the Halul Kobe. Here on the bottom, idea of Adech, at the bottom of 12 is the last number of psukim that I quoted. Going on to the next page, 13 is the last part, of course, which is the Bracha, the summation. So what I've just tried to show you is that each of the three additional brachas, Malchus, Chanas, and Shabbos, is of a tripartite nature. Namely, you have the introduction, then you have Sukkot that corroborated, 3, 3, 3, and 1, with some exceptions. And finally, you have a summation. The Tefillos of Rosh Hashanah are absolutely gorgeous. I would recommend to you, there are a number of several, there are several Sfarim that really, there's Harav Nevinsol Shlit, the Rav of the Old City, has Sichos and the Chumash. He also has Sichos Rosh Hashanah. I think they translate into English. I was told, I assume that language you do speak, even though you may not speak Latin and Greek, but I assume English you do speak. And so you can actually have access to really, he analyzes the Tefillos in the most beautiful way. And I hope and appreciate, hopefully, that you will, in the course of the Davening Rosh Hashanah, develop an appreciation for the beautiful Tefillos Rosh Hashanah, and Hashem should give you all a Ksiva Chasima Tova, all of Pav Yisrael, Shasyata Bishmaya. You need a lot of it. You should have Bracha Vatzlacha, and you should maintain that smile of Me'er Yosef Shach.